All right, so today's shiur is sponsored in memory of
Kayla Bas
Rav Yitzchak Leib. Her neshama should have an aliyah. We are on the bottom of Vav Amud Beis 6b. Okay, so we're on the bottom of Vav Amud Beis 6b, and this is what we got up to. We had a concept that a very ambiguous statement in the Gemara. In the Gemara, there was a very 6b, probably 6b3 or 4. There was a very ambiguous statement in the Gemara. The Gemara had said, Beitza im yitziyasa nigmara. The egg, with its coming out, it's finished. So we were like, in what context is this statement uttered? In other words, is it in terms of yantif? Is it in terms of eating it with milk? Right? Because we know that it's when it's inside the chicken, when it's inside the hen, so it's still the status of meat. But once it comes out, we'll see at different, you know, where, when exactly that happens, that it becomes pariv. So maybe that's what the statement's in reference to. In other words, it's unclear what the statement, Beitza im yitziyasa nigmara. We had that statement, we don't know what it means. So we first said that maybe it has to do with eating it with milk, right? The implication being that as long as it's inside the hen, you can't eat it with milk. Once it comes out of the hen, you can eat it with milk. Then we said that it doesn't fit well, because the fact is that there's a brisa that teaches us that if you kill a hen and you find fully made eggs inside of it, you can eat those with milk. So obviously, you don't need to wait till they come out of the hen. When you find them inside and they're fully developed, you're allowed to eat them with milk. So then we said the statement must be made in reference to yantif, that we know that we said in the first Mishnah in Beitza that an egg that is laid on yantif, there is a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to whether or not you're allowed to eat that egg. That Beis Shammai says you are and Beis Hillel says you are not. So maybe this is going in accordance, right, with one of those opinions. So let's go back a little bit again. It says, right, V'atanya, towards the bottom of 6b, towards the bottom of Vav Amud Beis, right? So we have a brisa that says that if you kill a hen and you find eggs inside of it, you're allowed to eat those, right? So that shows that this statement is not necessarily discussing yantif, right? Because we would have said that the statement which says im yitziyasa nigmara, when the egg comes out, it's finished. Right, the implication being that when it's inside of the hen and you kill the hen on yantif, you're not allowed to eat them. But this brisa says that you are allowed to eat them. So then again, it shows that this statement is not necessarily talking about what we want it to be talking about. The Gemara says, as we said last week, so maybe you'll say the brisa which says that the eggs which are found inside the hen are mutter, are permitted on yantif. If you kill a hen on yantif and you find eggs inside of it, they're permitted. Maybe that brisa is wrong. Maybe that brisa, because that brisa, you know, goes against the Mishnah, maybe. Because we don't have any Mishnahs that say that the egg inside of the hen is permitted. But the answer is we do. Hanami Tanina. We do have a Mishnah that says that the egg inside, that's found inside the hen on yantif, is permitted. Beis Shanolda beyantif, Beis Shammai Omrim Tochal, Beis Hillel Omrim Lo Sochal. That it says in the Mishnah, our first Mishnah in Beitza, that a hen that lays an egg, there's an argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel whether or not the egg's allowed to be eaten. Adkan lo plige Beis Shammai Beis Hillel el benodo. So they are only arguing when the egg has been laid. Aval b'meim on divrei hakol sharyon. But everyone says that when the egg is still inside the mother, it's permitted. Right? So what do you see? So you see this statement, im yitziyasa nigmara, right? Which is only when it comes out it's permitted, doesn't necessarily fit with this. Because here you see that everyone, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, agree that when the egg is inside of the mother and you kill that mother on yantif, then the egg is permitted. So the statement which says only when it comes out doesn't seem to fit with this. So maybe you'll say, no, Beis Hillel said that when the egg is laid, it's forbidden. And they also hold that when the egg is inside the mother, it's forbidden. Right? And maybe the reason why they're arguing in the case of when it's laid is to say the strength of Beis Shammai. The Beis Shammai says, not only when it's inside the mother and you kill the mother is the egg permitted, even when it's laid and there might be issues of nolad, the egg is still permitted. right? Dafilu nol d'namisharu. That's what Beis Shammai are trying to say, right? Right. So again, maybe the implication is like this. Really, the egg, even inside the mother, is not permitted. That's what Beis Hillel would say. So what Beis Hillel would say?
Why? I mean, I do
Han Chacha. Right? Achana, yeah.
And so I prepare the chicken. Why is not the egg related to the chicken?
I think you would say that maybe that it's still considered, it's like in some senses a separate entity, even when it's inside. In other words, just like when it's laid, Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to eat it because
right.
It's nolad. So too, even when it's inside, once it's fully formed, it's a separate entity and therefore it's not connected to the mother anymore. Right?
Even inside.
Even inside. So again, so maybe you will say,
Right. Could we assume that this is his thinking?
Right, exactly. That's exactly true, exactly. So maybe you'll say that the Braisa, which says that the egg that comes out is mutter, right? Only when it comes out it's mutter, but the implication being when it, in Mitziyasa Negmara, it's only when it's finished when it comes out, but when it's inside, right, the implication was is that it's mutter. So maybe that's the opinion of Beis Shammai. In other words, Beis Hillel holds that the egg, whether it's inside the mother or outside the mother, it's forbidden. But Beis Shammai would say that, right, that when it's laid, it's permitted, and also when it's inside the mother, it's permitted. And why did they argue only in the case of when it's laid? To show the strength of Beis Shammai, that even when it's laid and it's fully a separate entity, it's still permitted. But there's another braisa. What? Yeah.
How can the same thing that's said about the milk, which is still inside of the cow?
Well, that might be because of Sar Bali Chaim that you're allowed to milk it. Or it's called... That also depends on what we say. Again, like we said before, these are all theoretical possibilities. This isn't necessarily what we say at the end of the day, right? So we have to first get to the bottom line. Then once we get to the bottom line, then we'll say, how does it fit with other cases?
Okay.
So the Gemara says... but if you want to say that really Beis Shammai is the one who say... Again... We have a statement. I'm sorry, this is a little bit confusing. We have a statement. An egg, as it comes out, it's finished. Right? As it comes out, it's finished. So we're like, what context is this talking about? Is it talking about eating it with milk, or are we talking about yontif? So first we try to say that it's eating it with milk, that while it's inside the mother, even if it's fully formed, you can't eat it with milk. Once it comes out, it's its own separate entity, and it becomes pariv, and you could eat it, that egg, with milk. Fine. Then we said... That doesn't fit well because we have a braisa which says that even when it's inside the mother, if it's fully formed, it's still called pariv, and if you kill that hen, you could take that egg and eat it with milk. So we said maybe they're arguing by yontif. What are they arguing by yontif? They're arguing that it's only when it comes out it's permitted to be eaten on yontif, but when it's still inside the mother, it's forbidden to be eaten. So we're like, but there's no one who says that when the egg is inside of the mother, it's forbidden. Because Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel only argue when the egg is laid. Then Beis Shammai says it's permitted, and Beis Hillel says it's forbidden. But inside the mother, everyone agrees that it's permitted, because just like you can eat the hen, so you can eat the egg. So then we said, right, maybe Beis Hillel really would say that when it's inside the mother, it's also forbidden. And the reason they only argue by the case when it's laid is to show the strength of Beis Shammai. That Beis Shammai say not only when it's in the mother it's permitted, even when it's laid and it's fully a separate entity, it's still permitted. But Beis Hillel would still say, just like when it's laid it's forbidden, so too when it's inside the mother it's forbidden. And then we said, now we're about to say, but that doesn't make sense either. The problem is there's a braisa that says if you find an egg inside of the mother on yontif, you're allowed to eat it, right? Now, who is this? If you find an egg inside of the mother on yontif that you killed the hen and you find the egg inside, you're allowed to eat it. Who is this? Is this Beis Shammai? Well, Beis Shammai say even if it's laid, you're allowed to eat it, not only when it's in the mother. And Beis Hillel, as we said before, say not only when it's inside the mother is it forbidden, even when it's laid is forbidden. So this brisa, which says when it's inside the mother it's permitted, which implies when it's late it's forbidden, but inside it's permitted, that doesn't go according to either of them. Because Beis Shammai would say it's mutter in both cases, and Beis Hillel would say it's forbidden in both cases. Okay. So now we got out of the darkness, and now we're going to a new possible answer. Okay, that's why I made a mistake actually last week. We should have ended at this point and not there, because we were on a roll. All right. So anyways, Ella im yitziyasa nigmara umegad ledes efrochem. Here we go. This is a new thing. Yitziyasa nigmara, we said when it comes out, it is finished. For what? When it comes out, the egg is finished. In the ability, now it has to have a chick come out of it. In other words, while the egg is inside the mother, it can't have a chick come out of it. But once the egg is laid, then there's the possibility that a chick will come out of it. Obviously.
That implies that when it's inside, if you found it, it couldn't be...
So we'll see. We'll see. Let's see what the Gemara says. So we say, right, so that's what we say. So we say, Elo, im tziyasa nigmara umegales efrochem, b'mei ima eina megales efrochem. Again, the egg that comes out has a possibility of raising chicks, and a chick can come out of that egg. When the egg's inside of the mother, it's impossible that a chick could come from that. So the Gemara says, "L'mainaf gemina." In other words, yes, we know when the chick is hatched when the egg is laid. After the egg is laid, then that chick is hatched. When the egg is inside the mother, so obviously the chick is not coming out at that point.
Yeah, but it come out later.
Let's see. So the Gemara says, "L'mainaf gemina." What is the practical difference of knowing this idea? In other words, who cares? Yes, when it comes out, it now has the possibility that a chick will hatch from it. And when it's inside the mother, it doesn't have the possibility for a chick to hatch from it. So we say, le'in l'mekach u'memchar. So we say, the practical difference is a case of a sale. What is that? Ki hahu d'amr le b'yo d'p'chie. B'ye d'p'chie. So some guy was calling out in the marketplace, right? B'ye d'p'chie l'man. Right, so he was calling out, who has laid eggs? Some guy was calling out, who has laid eggs? I want to buy laid eggs. Who has laid eggs? Yahavu le b'ye d'shchuta. So someone gave him a egg, not that was laid, but was an egg from a hen that was killed, and the egg was found inside of that hen. Right? So again, the guy wanted an egg that was laid. Right? He was sold an egg that was found inside of a hen that was killed. Also, the Kami de Ravami. So they came in front of Ravami, who was going to judge the case. Amr lehu mekach tosu. So Ravami said that the sale is a mekach tos. It's a false sale. In other words, you didn't sell him what he wanted, and you tricked him basically. But and v'hadar, right? And therefore, you have to give back the money, and he can give you back the egg. So the Gemara says pshita. Obviously, he asked for a laid egg, and you gave him a egg that was found inside of a hen that was killed. Of course, the sale is void. Of course, you didn't sell him what he asked for. So the Gemara says, no. Mahu detema haid lachila kabayi lehu v'haid dekamer depichye mishum detzriban. So we'll say no. Maybe when he asked for a laid egg, it's not because he wanted a laid egg because of the fact that it could raise chicks. He wanted a laid egg also to eat. In other words, an egg that's inside of the mother that you kill a hen and then you find the egg, right? So that egg cannot raise a chick. But if you have a laid egg, it has the possibility of raising a chick. So we said that when he sold him the item, right? When he sold him the egg, he told him that he wanted an egg that was laid, and he gave him an egg that was from a hen that was killed. So you might say, so we said the sale is void. So we say, obviously the sale is void. He didn't get what he wanted. So we say, no. Maybe the sale shouldn't be void. Because when he asked for a laid egg, it's not that he wanted a laid egg in order to raise chicks. It's that he wanted a laid egg because apparently a laid egg tastes better than a egg that's inside the mother. Right? Mishum ditzariven. Right? It's more cooked. It's more done. Right? And therefore, the sale shouldn't be void. The sale shouldn't be void, you should say. You should say, okay, you asked for a laid egg. You wanted to eat it anyway. He gave you an egg that was from a hen that was killed. So the egg is not as good for tasting purposes, right? But it's still edible. So the sale shouldn't be void. Simply, you should just return the difference in the money. In other words, a late egg, if you want to eat it, costs $5. And an egg inside of the mother that was killed costs $4. So maybe you should simply just return that extra dollar and the sale should stand. So Kamash Malan, that we don't say that logic. We say that really when you wanted that egg, you wanted it for it to raise chicks. And therefore, it's a totally void sale. Yeah. Any questions?
I thought you stated as a matter of fact you wanted to eat it.
In other words...
But wasn't that the phrase? You wanted to eat it, suddenly you're saying...
No, he didn't say what he wanted. He said, I want a late egg, right?
Right.
So a late egg has two possibilities. Either you want it to raise a chick... Or you wanted it just to eat, and it's better cooked than an egg that's inside the mother. So they went in front of Rav Ami. Rav Ami said the sale is void. You didn't give him what he wanted. So he said, of course the sale is void. He asked for a late egg, and you gave him an egg inside the mother. So the Gemara says, no, because maybe the sale shouldn't be void, because he really wanted it for eating purposes. Okay, so it's not as good. So the sale should stand. Just give him back the difference in money between an egg, which is inside. You don't know what he wanted. So Kamash Malan, the Gemara says, no, we don't say that. We don't say that he wanted it for eating. The sale should stand. They should just give back the difference in money between an egg that's inside the mother and an egg that's laid. No, we assume that he wanted it to raise chicks, and therefore it's a totally void sale, because this egg cannot do that.
Is that a legitimate havamina that we might have thought that he only has to give back the difference?
Yeah.
It's like a pretty clear mechathos. He should be really...
No, but maybe he could argue and say, I thought... when you asked for a late egg that you wanted it to raise a chick? Maybe you just wanted it for food. So I gave you a little bit worse. Okay, fine. So I'll give you back the $1 and that's it.
Yeah, but under law, you can't do that.
No, but he was...
Because you don't know what's in... The law is that you have to express what you want.
Right.
And if you don't express what you want, then you can assume later on, maybe you meant the other way. You have to go by what the words were. He says, who has an egg?
Right. So that's exactly what the Gemara says. You know, the Gemara assumes
exactly. It's
the sale's void.
Exactly.
Obviously, the sale's void. No, because you might think that since he didn't say exactly what he wanted, he was ambiguous, the sale should stand, then you should just give back the disparity in money. No, Kamash Malan, like you said, Kamash Malan, that no, the sale is totally void, because you have to assume that when he said late egg, he meant an egg that could raise chicks, even though there is a possibility that he wanted it for eating purposes.
Most people that buy eggs are buying it for eating purposes.
That's not the point.
I don't know. I'm saying, who knows? Right. Maybe you could say that, but as Steve said, that's not the point. At the end of the day, the possibility exists that when he asked for a late egg, he wanted it to raise a chick, and therefore, since at the end of the day, we don't know either way, you have to go based on what he said, and he wanted a late egg. And you didn't give him that, so the sale is void. Another interesting case. So some guy asked, I want a fertilized egg. Right? Because not every egg that's laid is fertilized. I actually looked up exactly how this happens. I looked up how exactly eggs are, like how you have a chick versus things. So basically, it's
immaculate conception.
But you don't know if it's fertilized or not.
Oh, so they're very good, very good. So that's going to be the answer. So we will know if it's fertilized. But basically,
one second.
So again, an egg, some guy asked, I want a fertilized egg. So the way it works, apparently, I didn't learn this in biology, but basically I looked it up on Wikipedia, a rooster and a hen engage in some kinds of relations very quickly. The rooster's sperm is deposited into the hen. When the hen, then the hen already has an egg inside of it. Then when it lays an egg, the sperm goes into the egg as it's being laid, and therefore that egg is fertilized. No, it's as it's being laid. So I guess before the shell comes. The shell comes at the last step, but right before that, it gets inside of it. Then the shell comes, and then it goes out, and it develops outside of the hen, right? So that's apparently how it happens. Some guy asked, in the Gemara's case, some guy asked for a fertilized egg. Baya didichra, in other words, an egg from a male, i.e. a fertilized egg. So... Yahavu le baya de safna me'ara. So they gave him, they sold him an egg that where a hen laid an egg, but there was no male around. Safna me'ara is that it was warmed by the ground. In other words, the hen was excited by the ground that caused it to lay an egg, and therefore that egg is not fertilized. Yahavu also the kami de Rav Ami. They came again in front of Rav Ami a separate time. Amr lehu mekach tosu. So he said the sales void. He asked for a fertilized egg. You gave him an egg that was laid, but it wasn't fertilized because it was laid by the ground. In other words, the ground caused the hen to lay the egg. So we say the hadar and the sales void. So the Gemara says pshita. Of course, the sale is void. He asked for a fertilized egg, and you gave him an egg that was laid based on the fact that he just laid an egg, you know, because it was warmed by the ground, whatever that means. So ma'utei mahala achila kabayi lehu v'haytik amr d'dichra mishum d'shminan tvei. So maybe you'll say the same thing that we said before. In other words, when he asked for a fertilized egg, it's not because he wanted to raise a chick. It's that a fertilized egg apparently just is fatter and tastes better. So, okay, so you gave him an egg that was laid on the ground, right? That was laid because the hen was excited by the ground and there was no male around. Okay, so that egg tastes a little bit worse than a fertilized egg. But either way, he wanted it for food. So the fertilized egg costs $6 and the not fertilized egg costs $5. So the sales should stand maybe and just give him the $1 difference. So you might think that that's true. Kamash Malan, Rav Ami says that that's not true, that the sale is void. Why? Because since he asked for a fertilized egg, you can't assume he wanted it for food. You have to assume that he wanted it to raise a chick. And since a not fertilized egg cannot do that at all, obviously, therefore, the sale is void.
I don't know why you even have to assume anything. You have to take the words of the person who's asking for something and just follow it.
Right, but
therefore, if you don't do it,
right. So that's again, that's the end of the Gemara. The Gemara, that's the conclusion. But
right.
But because the Gemara says, and going back to what you said before, how do we know when an egg is fertilized or not? We asked that question. So the answer is very correctly, is that like we said, is that when there's a male around, we assume the egg is automatically fertilized. That's what Rashi says. If you look at where is it? Which Rashi? Right here. So in the Dichra, right? Dichra means, we said it before, Dalid is a Zion in Hebrew. All right? A Dalid in Aramaic is a Zion in Hebrew. So Dichra obviously means Zachar, Zichra, right? That means a male.
Wow.
Yeah. Now once you learn that trick, then it's like a lot of Aramaic becomes very simple, right? Dalid is a Zion in Hebrew. Dalid in Aramaic is a Zion in Hebrew. So Dichra, you're like, what is that word? Yeah, change the Dalid to Zion. Zachar, that means an egg that was fertilized by a zachar, by a male, right? So if you look at Rashi, Chileidas and Tarnagol, Mitarnagol, Velo Nitchama Minakarka Lekotem Below Zachar. Right? No, that wasn't the Rashi. One second. I'm sorry, where is that Rashi? Oh, the net of Safna, I'm sorry. It says in that Rashi where it says Safna, it says, right, Ubisamach lekaman, right? We're going to say later on, kohech deika zachar lo safna meara. Whenever there's a male around, it doesn't lay it based on the ground. In other words, whenever there's a male around, you can assume the egg is fertilized by the male, and that's why the hen is laying the egg, and we don't assume that it's just giving birth to unfertilized eggs.
So, obviously these people who are raising chicks,
they know this stuff.
Know that there's either
a rooster around.
There isn't a rooster
there. Right, right. So that's right. In other words, because you could otherwise say, how do you know the egg is fertilized? Like you said, how do you know the egg is fertilized? The answer is that no. If there is a rooster around, it means by definition the egg is fertilized. Okay. So now we're going to say another answer. Oh gosh. What does it mean when we said before this statement that when the egg comes out, it's finished, right? Now we just said it's finished, right, in terms of a sale. In other words, that it's finished in terms of a sale. That. Let's say, for example, you say you want a laid egg, so you have to give him a laid egg. You can't give him an egg that was inside of the hen. So we're going to give another answer. So we say im yitzias ruba nigmara, right? So another answer is that what does it mean that an egg as it comes out is finished? It means that once the majority of the egg comes out, it's called laid. So what does that matter? The minaf gemina. For what practical purpose do we care about that, right? So the Gemara says, right? So Rav Yochanan says, an egg, we know that Beis Hillel says an egg that is born on Yantif you cannot eat, right? That's what Beis Hillel said in the first Mishnah. Let's say the egg came out of the hen, majority of it came out of the hen, and then it went back inside, and then it came out on Yantif, right? So was that egg called laid or not? So the Gemara would be saying that Im Yitziyasa Nigmara teaches us that it is that as long as the majority, right, has come out, right, it's called laid. Im yitziyasa nigmar, in other words, once yitziyasa of ruba, once the majority of it has come out, so then it's called laid, and therefore, even though, as long as that happens before yontif, even if the egg is fully laid on yontif, it's still going to be okay. In other words, as long as the majority of the egg was laid prior to yontif starting, even if it goes back inside, if and then is laid on yontif, it's going to be okay already.
I was just thinking of Zerach and Peretz.
Right here, right? When it pulled him back in, right?
Yeah, then.
Go back in. What about the shape?
What?
Go back in. What about the shape?
What do you mean, can
and
go back in?
Oh, well, they peppered at one end and the other end is not. So,
I don't know. I don't know.
Does that concept also hold for humans?
Yeah.
Well, we'll say.
Because theoretically, I mean, a person could be born a month before.
Well, once a person
back into the
right, so once the person either the head comes out or the majority of the body comes out, then they're called just like here we would say according to this what we just said, once the majority comes out, it's called born, right? It's called laid. So therefore, even as long as that happens before yontif, even if it goes back inside and comes out on yontif, it's going to still be okay. So too with a human, the Mishnah says in Ohalos that once the head comes out or the majority of the body comes out, then that's called born.
How did it work with Zerach? Why did she need to put the string on?
He stuck his hand out though. He didn't stick his head out.
That's not the robe, so it shouldn't make him the firstborn.
I don't know. You have to look into that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Does everybody know about the chickens on 68th and Exeter? 69th and Exeter?
We'll have a class trip there. We'll have a class trip. Let's go visit them.
4-H club.
No, they're actually chickens. They're walking around. Goose.
Really?
Yeah, they have a coop.
Weird. Okay. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's do all of our. Let's go do our experiments from the Gemara on those chicks. like observe the chick as like it's coming.
There was a rooster. There would be crows in the morning.
There was a rooster. Corner of what? 68th and Exeter, I think. Right?
All right, so let's keep going a little bit because I have a fascinating shaila I want to share. So v'ikud da'amri, my imitziyasa nigmara, imitziyas kula nigmara. Right, in so again, we said this is the exact opposite. We said im yitziyasa nigmara. Right, what did we just say? That teaches us that as long as the majority of the egg has come out, even if it goes back inside, it's already called laid. So if that happens before yontif, if it's born on yontif, it's still going to be okay because majority came out. Right, that's one way of reading im yitziyasa nigmara. And that would fit with Rav Yochanan, who says that as long as the majority of the egg came out before yontif, even if it goes back inside, if it's laid on yontif, it's going to be okay.
Do they have chicken watches the entire day here?
I don't know. I don't know. I hear you.
Everyone's watching the chicken?
I don't know. They knew, I guess. And the second reading of it is that, no, it's literal. Im yitziyasa nigmara. Only if the entire egg comes out is it called laid, which would go against Rav Yochanan. Because Rav Yochanan said as long as the majority came out, this would now be saying no. Only if the entire thing came out, then it's called laid. But if the entire thing did not come out, it's not called laid. So in our situation where majority came out and then went back inside, it would not be called laid. And therefore, if it's born on yontif, it would be prohibited. Right, so there's two ways to read the statement. What does it mean, imit siyasa nigmar? Is it majority came out, or is it no, literally the whole thing came out? Okay. Fine. So that ends that. Gufa hashochet at satarna golat to matzuba beitzim gemurus mutarin la'achlam b'chalav. So this is going again. It's going back to what we discussed before. You kill a hen. Just on a normal day, you kill a hen, and you find eggs that are inside of it. So Bryce says you're allowed to eat them with milk. That they're called separate entities. The hen you're not allowed to eat with milk because the hen is called fleishachs. However, the egg is not called part of the hen. It's called a separate entity because it's even though it's inside, it's finished, and therefore you can eat it with milk. So that is what the Braisa says. Rav Yaakov Omer imayu meuros begidin asuros. Rav Yaakov says that if, however, they're attached still to the tendons or in the hen and it hasn't detached yet, so they're not going to be permitted to be eaten with milk. So you have an argument. In other words, it's unclear if it's an argument, but the Tanakhama says, you find eggs inside, they're permitted to be eaten with milk, as long as they're finished. And Rav Yaakov says, that's only true if they're not attached to the tendons. But once they're, if they're still attached to the tendons, they're not going to be permitted to be eaten with milk. Right? So that's an argument. So, man tana lahad tana rabbanan. So who is the author of this next braisa? Ha'ochel min avelas of tahor, min ha'shlal shabetzim, min ha'tzomot, min ha'gidim, min ha'basur shenesh, min ha'chai tahor. So it's like this. So there's a rule that a dead kosher bird, if you eat it, it makes you tameh. Not if you touch it, not if you carry it. When you eat it, when it's in the beis hablio, which is over here, when you swallow it, basically, it makes you tameh. So, now, that only applies to the meat of the bird, right? The Braisa says, if you eat from, for example, the shalal shabetzim, right, which is the egg, which is inside the bird, or from the bones of the bird, or from the tendons of the bird, or from the meat of the bird that was taken off while the bird is still alive. So in all these situations, you're tahor, you're pure. Because all these things are not the meat of a dead bird, right? Even if the bird is dead, for example, and you take its bone, the bone is not the meat of a dead bird, right? The bone is not meat. It's not the same thing. What? Again, it's a separate question. It's not that you did something right, but you're not tameh. You're not tameh tumas of tahor.
It wasn't shechted, though. It wasn't kosher.
You did an avera, but you're not tameh. You did an avera. You're not tameh because the meat that is tameh is only the meat of a dead bird. If the bird dies, then if you eat it, you're tameh. But if the bird is alive and you rip off a piece of it, yes, you did something very wrong, but you're not tameh. You're not impure. So again, this Braisa says, if you take the shalal shabetzim, you take, the eggs out of a hen that is killed, that it wasn't killed, it just died, or the bones, or the tendons, if you eat these things, you're not going to become tameh. Because these things are not called meat. Again, the only way you become tameh is if you eat the meat of an impure, dead bird. A pure dead bird, I'm sorry. Mina eshkel shabetzin mina korkevan ubenem ayin o shahamachas achilev vegamo tame. However, if you eat from the meat where the eggs are attached to, right? The meat where the eggs are attached to, the korkevan, which is the crop, benem ayin, the intestines, or you take the fat of that bird, of that pure dead bird, you take the fat and you smash it and you drink it, so all these things you became tame. So what do you see here? So you see there's a distinction between the egg, right? Even if it's still attached, the egg, which if you eat it, it's not called meat and you didn't become tameh, and the eshkol, which is the meat of the bird where the egg is attached, that if you eat that, you do become tameh, right? So what do you see over here? You see that there's a difference between, an egg that's attached, that's not called meat, in other words. You see that an egg that is attached is not called meat. Because if you eat it, you're tahor. The way you become tameh is if you eat meat from the bird. So what does the Gemara say? Amar Rav Yosef, this brisa must not be deloka Rabbi Yaakov. This brisa is not like Rav Yaakov. So what did Rav Yaakov say? Rav Yaakov said, an egg that is attached to the tendons, you're not allowed to eat it with milk. Implication, the egg is meat. This brisa says, the egg is not meat, because if you eat it, you didn't become tameh, and the only way you become tameh is if you eat meat from the pure dead bird. So that's what the Gemara is going to ask. The Gemara is going to say that. So the Gemara is going to say, right, who says that they're comparable? So the Gemara says, at least right now, that it's not Rav Yaakov. That Braisa about the dead bird is not Rav Yaakov. De'ikar Rav Yaakov, ha'amar ima yuma urus begidin asuros. Rav Yaakov was the one who said that if you have an egg that is attached to the tendons, it's called meat, and you're not allowed to eat it with milk. If you kill a hen and you find an egg inside that is still attached to the bird, right? It's still attached to the tendons. If you cannot eat that egg with milk. Implication being that egg is meat. If the egg is meat, that means if you have a dead pure bird and you eat that egg, you should become tameh because meat of a dead bird makes you tameh. So from the fact that the Braisa says that you're tahor, it must be that this Braisa is not Rav Yaakov. So the Gemara says maybe that's not true, like what Mark said. Amalei Abai Mimai. Who says that one has to do with the other? Dilma Akan Lo Kamar Rav Yaakov Hasamele Inyan Isura Avoli Inyan Tumah Lo. Maybe Rav Yaakov is saying L'chumra. In other words, like this. Buy the egg which is attached and you want to know whether you want to eat it with meat or not, whether you want to eat it with milk or not. So he'll be Machmir and he'll say that you can't eat that egg which is attached with milk. We're going to be Machmir. Right? But maybe by Tuma, we don't want in general things to be Tame. So maybe by Tuma, he'll say that the egg, for all intents and purposes, even though it's still attached to the tendons, is a separate entity, and therefore it's not going to be called the meat of the bird to make you Tame. In other words, just because he's machmir by the egg to say that you can't eat it with milk, that doesn't mean that he'll say that the egg has the status of something that's tame to make you tame when you eat it.
Why would you take such a liberal opinion of meat eating? Because the whole issue of milk and meat with a bird is the rabboni.
But how's it liberal, though? How's it liberal? Isn't it conservative? You're saying that you can't eat it with milk, right?
Yeah, he said they made it. He says
he's machmir by a drabbana and he's mako by a daraisa.
No, so it's like this, because basically, either way, the egg is separate. That's a good question. Either way, the egg is separate. Separate on some level, right? So, really, it should be that you can eat it with milk, and really, it should be that it's not tame. That it's not meat and it's not tame. That's what it really should be. Rav Yaakov said that the egg, you cannot eat it with milk. So he's being machmir there. And seemingly, if we say he's the author of this brisa, he said that you can't, it's not tame. So it's a disparity.
Right.
So why is there a disparity? So the Gemara says maybe the disparity is like this. Because by an egg that you want to eat it with milk. So we're worried that if, as we're going to say in a second, that we're worried that if you allow to eat the egg with milk, so you're going to say it was basically attached. You're not going to realize that it wasn't attached. You're going to say it was basically attached. So if you can eat the egg with milk, you can eat the tendons themselves with milk, or the meat over there themselves with milk. So that's why we're machmir. Rav Yaakov is machmir and says you cannot eat the egg with milk because you might come to eat the meat of the chicken with milk. But by tuma, we don't want to make more things tame. That's what the Gemara is going to say. We don't want more things to be tame. So at the end of the day, fact of the matter is this egg is not really attached. So we're not going to say that it's tame, that when you eat it, that you become tame. That's what the Gemara says, right? So the Gemara says, right? So the Gemara says what you said. If you're going to say the egg, right, that you can't eat it with milk because it's meat, right? We're going to make a gazera that you can't eat it. So then, by tuma, you should also say that it's part of the animal, and therefore, if you eat it, you should become tame. So the Gemara says no, because there's a difference. Because we don't want more things to be tame. Because you think that you're being machmir, but you're actually being mekel. Because then, for example, truma, let's say you see something's tame. You'll be wasting truma. There'll be a lot of other things that you're going to run into problems with. It's not such a big deal to say that the egg, you can't eat it with milk. Okay, so what's the big deal? So now we're just being more machmir by the egg to say that we're worried that people are going to get confused, that they're going to, if you say the egg can be eaten with milk, you're going to say the meat of the chicken can be eaten with milk. But by the egg, in terms of tuma, we're not going to say it's tame. Why? Because if you make a gezerah, if you make a decree and say, oh, it's tame, even though it's not really tame, so it's going to lead to other problems. Like, for example, if it touches truma, you're going to say, burn the truma, because now the truma is tame. But that's not really true, because the egg wasn't really tame. And then you're going to be spoiling truma for no reason. You're going to create other problems. So we don't say that. So the Gemara says
it's not that the egg is tame, it's that the egg will be matame, the person who eats it.
Right, in other words, the egg will be matame, the person. He said the person who touches truma will mess up the truma, and the truma's not really messed up, and then you're going to burn truma, you're going to be mafsid truma for no reason. So that's one whole way to read this whole thing, that really, really,
they're both
Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov basically holds that the egg, by eating it with milk, we're going to say it's attached to the chicken, and just like a chicken you can't eat with milk, so too the egg you can't eat with milk. By tuma, we're going to say the egg is not really viewed as attached to the chicken, and therefore the egg is not called the meat of the chicken, that if you eat it, you become tame. That's one way. V'ikah d'amri, there is another reading of this. Man tana mina eshkel shabetim tame, am Rav Yosef Rav Yaakovi. D'amri, mayum e'urs begidin asuros. So now we're going to be focusing on the second part of the brisa. The second part of the brisa, again, remember the brisa said like this. If you eat from the egg itself by tuma, if you eat from a dead pure bird that you didn't kill, it just died. If you eat the egg, you're tahor, you're not impure. If you eat the meat where the egg is attached, you're tame. So now the second reading focuses not on the egg, but the meat itself where the egg is attached. So it said again, if you eat that meat, you become tame. So who is that? So seemingly that's Rav Yaakov. Why? That's what the Gemara says. Just like by the egg, by eating it with milk, he said the egg, which is attached, is still called part of the chicken. So too, the meat where the egg is attached is going to be considered tameh for eating it. If you eat it, you're going to become tameh. So the Gemara is going to obviously challenge that and say they're not the same thing, right? The Gemara says, who says it's the same thing? Right? In other words, they want to read the words eshkol, where we said the meat where the egg is attached, as including the egg itself, right? That by eating it with milk, Rabbi Yaakov said the egg itself is not going to be allowed to eat with milk, right? And that would fit with the Braisa, which says that the eshkol, the meat of the chicken where the egg is attached, is tamei, because they assume that it includes the egg itself. So the Gemara challenges that distinction. It says, maybe the egg, Rav Yaakov would say by the egg itself, that you could eat it, you can't eat it with milk. Why? Because it's still attached to the chicken, to the bird. But the eshkol is not a reference to the eggs. The eshkol is a reference to the meat. In other words, maybe by tumah we would say that the eggs themselves are tahor, but the eshkol, where the eggs are attached, are tameh. In other words, maybe the eshkol doesn't mean eggs also. Maybe it only means the meat where the eggs are attached. So that's what the Gemara says. V'chi tema eshkol gufei mai l'memra. So then, but the Gemara says like this, but if you're saying, if the point of the eshkol is not talking about the eggs, it's simply talking about where the eggs are attached, that's called meat, that if you eat it, you're tameh, that's obvious. In other words, the meat of the bird is obvious, that it's meat of the bird. So what would be the point of teaching that, to say that the meat of the bird, if you eat it, you're tameh? Of course you're tameh. So the Gemara says, no, because maybe you'll think like this. Right? Because it's similar to the crop and the innards. The avak of the basar ninhu, just like those things are meat. However, because you might say like this. Just like the innards, why does the Braisa teach that the innards or the crop, if you eat it, you become tamei? Because the answer is because some people don't eat those things. So you might think those things aren't considered, you might think that those things aren't considered meat. So it comes to Braisa and says they are meat. So too, by the eshkol, which is the part where the egg is attached, you might think that meat over there is not real meat because no one eats it. Kamash Malon, that people do eat it, and it is called meat, and if you eat it, you're tameh. Does anyone have any questions?
Just so I get a nasha, it's not edible, but you're still high for it. No taste at all.
Well, that's a gzeres hakasav, right? That's a gzeres hakasav, right? Right, exactly. In other words, you might think that since it's not really edible, you're not chayev. It doesn't make you tameh. Kamash Malon, that no, it does, right? That's it. That it still has the status. It's similar to that, yeah. Does anyone have any questions? This is a little bit complicated, I'm sorry. But that's just how it is. I don't know. Okay. This is actually very interesting, and this is where I wanted to get to. Tanu Rabbanan. Ko shetashmishu b'yom nol b'yom. Any animal that has relations during the day will give birth during the day. If it only has relations exclusively during the day, it will give birth during the day. That's what the Gemara says. Any animal that only has relations during at night will give birth at night. If it has relations during the day and at night, in other words, it has relations at any point during 24 hours, so then it will give birth during the day or the night. So what's an example of an animal that only gives birth, only has relations during the day and therefore will only give birth during the day? This is a hen. Hens apparently only have relations with the rooster during the day, and therefore they only give birth during the day, based on what we just said before. What's an example of an animal that only has relations during the night? Right? What is that? Zu atlaf. It's a bat. A bat apparently only has relations at night, and therefore it will only give birth at night. What is an example of an animal that has relations at any point during a 24-hour period, and therefore it will give birth at any point during a 24-hour period? Obviously, the answer is a human, Adam v'chod adamile, or other mammals. So Amar Mar. So we're quoting, going back to what we just said before. Kosher tashmish b'yom nolu b'yom zu tarnagolas. We said, what's an animal that only? This is going to be one of the most fascinating things. This tshuva that I'm about to discuss that you ever probably heard in your life. So, and that's not exaggerating. what's an animal that gives birth, that has relations during the day and gives birth only during the day? That's a hen. L'may nafka mina, for what practical difference? The chidur of Mari b'rei de Rav Kahana. The Amar of Mari b'rei de Rav Kahana, what did he say? Baldak b'kana shatarnagolim me'arav yantif alo matzo b'beitza l'macha hishkame matzo b'beitza muteres. Right? So we say like this. What's the thing? Let's say you have a hen coop. It's right before yantif. You check, and there is no egg there. There's no egg there. You come in the morning, and there is an egg there. What do we say? A hen can only give birth during the day. Right? So, you're coming, again, so the case is like this. You check before yantif, right before it gets dark, there is no egg. You come in the morning before it gets light out, and there is an egg. So did it give birth at night? No.
Well.
What?
Maybe it didn't check very well.
Oh, so the Gemara is going to ask that. Very good. You check, you come at 3 a.m., there's an egg. It's dark outside still. It's impossible that it gave birth during the night. That means it gave birth in the daytime before Yantif started, and the egg is permitted. Okay. Now, before we get to this, I want to give you one of the most fascinating shilas ever. So, I want to make sure I quote the right people. Okay, so what do we just say? We say a hen, it's physically impossible for a hen to give birth at night, right? Only during the day. Okay, so we know, as we learned at the beginning of Beitza, that fruit that falls on Shabbos or Yontif is not permitted, right? Gezerah, you're going to go up and grab it, or it's Muksa, whatever, fine. Now, let's say it's Ben HaShmashos. Let's say it's twilight, between night and day, on Erev Yontif, right? It's between night and day on Erev Yontif. It's twilight, Ben HaShmashos. A fruit falls off a tree. At the exact same time, a hen lays an egg. At the exact same time. So what do we say? We said a hen can only give birth during the day. If it's twilight, twilight in halacha is treated as a suffix. Unclear, night or day. Unclear. If the fruit, this isn't even the best part. This is just the entry point to the best part. If the fruit falls, and at the exact same second, a hen gives birth to an egg, or even 2 minutes later, a hen gives birth to an egg, it means it's still day. It's impossible for a hen to give birth at night. Now, so therefore, the fruit, even though you might think it fell on Shabbos, it did not fall on Shabbos, and it's permitted, or on Yotif. Now, that is brought in the Ikrei Das. Now, listen to this. Let's say a baby is born on Erev Shabbos, Ben HaShmashos. So normally, if a baby is born during twilight, so we go to the next day. In other words, the bris is on the next day. Let's say on Mondays. On a Monday, Monday afternoon, 2 minutes after Shkia, it's Ben HaShmashos, it's twilight, a baby's born. So 8 days later, if it would still be Monday, then the bris would be next Monday. But we say, no, it's twilight, so we can't give it a bris, because maybe Monday will be the seventh day, so we have to wait till Tuesday of the next week. Now, by Shabbos, if this is one of the most complicated shilas you could ever have, is a baby is born on twilight on Friday. Why? So maybe it's Friday. Maybe it's still Friday. So the next week, the bris should be on Friday. But we said in that kind of situation, you don't do that. You do it on the next day. The problem is that you don't give a bris on Shabbos unless you know for sure that the baby should be having a bris today. So normally in a situation where a baby's born on Friday in twilight, the reason why it's so complicated is because what's twilight? According to who? According to what opinion? We know there are a million opinions. Just like we know there are a million opinions when Shabbos ends, there are also opinions when Shabbos starts. That's why, and this is a very serious thing, because if you're going to give a bris on Shabbos or on Friday, whatever, you're either going to be doing it too early or you're being mechalal Shabbos. It's a huge thing.
That's why you pay the rabbi the big bucks.
That's a big bucks. That's a big bucks, yeah. Hopefully that would never happen, honestly. But like, it's out of my league, honestly. You'd have to ask like a gadol, like who to be machria on this. Okay, so a baby is born on twilight on Friday afternoon. Normally the bris can be on Sunday. That's the rule, okay? Because it can't be on next Friday, because maybe it wasn't Friday. Maybe it was born already at night and it's on Saturday. It can't be next Saturday, because maybe it was born on Friday. And therefore, you can't be machal Shabbos unless you know.
Okay.
What? You push it off to the ninth day, which is Sunday, or it also might be the tenth day if it was born on Friday.
Right.
Now, this is the craziest shiloh ever. Let's say at the same time the baby is born, an egg is laid. Let's say at the same time the baby's born on Friday afternoon, an egg is laid. Right? Okay. So how serious do we want to take the Gemara, which says that the egg, that a hen can only lay during the daytime? If you want to take it very literally, a hen can only lay during the daytime. So that means the baby, even though it's twilight, it was born during daytime. That means the bris should be next Friday, right?
So why shouldn't you? Tell me why.
I'll tell you why. So one opinion says, no, because the reason why you might not take it so literally is because it's not that it's not taking it literally. It's that Ben HaShmashos, I kind of said it wrong. Ben HaShmashos, we said, is either night or day. But there is an opinion that says Ben HaShmashos is neither night or day. So maybe only by the egg or by fruit, which fall, which is only really a Derabanan issue, will be Makel and say that it was still day because the hen gave birth. But maybe by such a serious Shiloh, we're going to say that, because in other words, the Gemara says that a hen only gives birth during the day and not night, but it doesn't say anything about Ben HaShmashos. Does a hen give birth during Ben HaShmashos or not? So here we have a hen that did give birth. So is Ben HaShmashos day or night? Well, there's an argument about whether or not Ben HaShmashos is day, night, or neither. So let's say you say it's neither. So then that wouldn't be conclusive evidence to say that, oh, he's given birth during the day. The hen gave birth during the day, and so too this baby was born during the day, and therefore you could eat. Then you could give the baby a bris on Friday next week. That would be the reason why you wouldn't say it. It's a machlokas aposkim. So the Yad Yosef says what you would think, which is what? Very simple. Twilight, it's unclear whether it's day or night. The hen gave birth to an egg. It's day. If the hen gave birth to an egg, it proves conclusively it's day. It's day. Therefore, the bris of the baby has to be next Friday and not on Sunday, because for sure it was born on Friday and therefore it's 8 days later is next Friday. Other people, as I said before, it's a little bit complicated why they say no, but they would say that you can't rely on this. But this would be like a perfect thing, like whether or not, how serious we would take this, basically. Right?
It's a big problem because, I mean, obviously it's a big problem, but if you would go according to the egg, there's a chashash that you're doing the bris too early.